Hey, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Chris. We're the hosts of True Believers, a comic book podcast, our weekly show about all things comics.
Welcome to episode 16 of True Believers. Chris and I will be diving into the comic book history of the Eternals before their debut in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, so Andrew, in preparation for this episode, you read every issue of the Eternals while I did the most bare minimum research possible. How did that go for you? Did you like the Eternals?
Listen, so for like the first, okay, I didn't read the 1985 version by Peter B. Gills and Sal Buscema. I didn't read those ones because I straight up did not enjoy it. But it was created in 1975, written and drawn by Jack Kirby. And I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't like that one either. It was not great. But whenever it started off with the heroed factor, that was my favorite one. But then, well, I didn't write it down, but Neil Gaiman, he actually ended up kind of like recreating the whole thing. And that story was actually pretty good, even though it was kind of questionable.
Oh, in the 2006 run of the Eternals?
Yes.
The 7-issue?
Yeah, he kind of just completely changed everything that happened prior to it. Even like some of the characters' powers, kind of.
So, ooh, not him retconning the entire thing.
Period. The entire thing, yeah. So it really kind of depends. The Gaiman one was easily the best one. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at. The Neil Gaiman one was really good. It told a better story than all the other ones. It's just the fact that he changed their powers and he kind of changed the characters themselves, which I didn't like. But other than that, you know, I mean, it was good. Other than all the things I said. So
okay. So Andrew, are you ready to teach our audience about the Eternals? The movie is actually going to come out the Friday after we release this episode. So yeah.
Yes. I am now an expert about the Eternals. I know everything there is to know. So if you have questions, just ask me.
Period. At him at True Believers Pod on Twitter. If you at True Believers Pod, please do not expect me to answer.
So when did I say 1975 is when it was created by Jack Kirby, because he created just about a million things that have become a thing in recent years. Like, haven't you noticed that though? They took a bunch of older comic books. Now they're putting them in the MCU and making them a lot more popular, like Guardians of the Galaxy.
I have a theory on why that is. And I don't know if I would get canceled for it. I don't know if this is a controversial opinion, but you know how DC Comics will consistently be going back and forth with the families of Siegel and Schuster, the creators of Superman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like this is one of those situations. Like, I feel like they're going back and getting older properties that there's nobody to really fight for the rights to, or to people who they've already compensated enough.
Air quotes, yeah. Compensated enough, air quotes. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like that's why they keep reaching further and further back. Also, I feel like the heroes who aren't really in the zeitgeist, like, I feel like that's where I don't want to say that the DCU is any less valid than the DCEU or whatever is any less valid than the MCU, because I really enjoy the way that they continuously make, like, they just be doing stuff. And I think that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like because all of the heroes, like their DC Trinity, they're the most popular superheroes in the world. Everybody, regardless of what their level of comic book knowledge is, they have an opinion about Superman. They have an opinion about Batman. They have an opinion about Wonder Woman. You know what I'm saying?
And even the Joker, just.
and there are people who walk around innocent university campuses wearing Joker masks. Every single day of class, they wear a different Joker mask, which is a red flag.
But no, that does make sense, because these older ones, because they're even doing like the Inhumans now, and Shang-Chi was one. Yeah.
Wait, they're doing the Inhumans? Who told them to do that?
Yeah, they're doing that as part of their like phase 4 or 5 or 7 or 8, whatever they're fucking on. I don't know.
This is why I told you people that they needed to be stopped in phase 2.
They should have done, and they're doing Galactus now. Galactus has never been in it. Actually, don't quote me on that one. I'm pretty sure, but I don't remember.
Galactus has never been in what? Well, finish your thought.
Well, he's never been in like a live action movie, is what I was gonna say.
Wasn't he in Fantastic Four?
No, they just put the Silver Surfer, and they kind of like hinted to, kind of like they did with Steppenwolf in the DC movie.
Oh, where, you know, they were like, oh, Darkseid might be coming, but he didn't.
Yeah, it was kind of that exact same thing. If I remember correctly, you know, it's been like 12 years since the movie came out or some shit. I don't know. It's been a minute, you know, since I've seen it. But okay, I'm pretty sure it was just the Silver Surfer.
I still haven't watched Zack Snyder's Justice League. So I don't know if they actually did more than hint.
They didn't. They hinted at Darkseid coming. Never happened. Because I watched that one too. It's so long. But it was a lot better. It was just so long.
My mom wouldn't watch it with me, and I wasn't watching that by myself.
Yeah. No, you had to like plan out your evening for that one.
I'm going to make Georgie and Tom watch it with me and Francesco.
No, it's actually really good. You would actually enjoy it, I think. It's just, again, you better get a lot of popcorn and a lot of sodas or something. That's a
child. That's a weekend. That's a weekend. Because there's no way I could sit down feasibly for 6 hours and watch one thing. No. Oh my God.
It's good, though. Okay. But anyways, back to the topic at hand, which is not
the Eternals.
It is the Eternals. So one thing, whenever you start reading this, we could talk about the characters first, but I want to say something about like what the Eternals are and everything. So what the Eternals are is basically the gods, air quote gods, come down to Earth, and you know, they start experimenting on apes a million years ago, which is how evolution happened and whatever. So they create like three branches, which one is like the deviants, which are just everything that could be wrong with something but still be kind of humanoid. That's what a deviant is. They're ugly, you know, they're ugly. That's it. They're just monsters. And it's literally like everything that could be wrong with something. That's what a deviant is. And they are called Homo Descendus, which is kind of, you know, that should kind of tell you. They're, you know, so. But then they also create humans, which y'all know what humans are, so I'm not even going to explain that part. But then they create Eternals, which is like everything that's right with humanity. Because like, humanity is kind of the middle ground of like the deviants and the Eternals, you know? So then the Eternals are everything right.
When you say the gods, do you mean like the Celestials?
Yes,
Marvel Comics, okay.
Yeah, it's the Celestials
are like gods, but worse.
But worse because they're just kind of assholes that float around inspecting, creating on every planet.
Like the deviant thing, I know definitely happened because they were like, well, what would this do? And then they were like, well, that's y'all's problem now. Y'all need to protect this world from the deviants that we just created. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This could be our job, but it's not.
So the Eternals are, first of all, and like the Jack Kirby or anything pre-Neil Gaiman, is there's like hundreds and thousands of Eternals. There's not only like 12 or whatever, however many, 10 in the movie, I don't know. But there's like hundreds and thousands of them. And they all have the same powers. Like they're all the exact same thing. Because
they
can
all fly, shoot laser beams, they're fast and things.
They can rearrange atoms, which is, this is also 1975. Sure. So it was before they understood what atoms really are. And this was just kind of like a catch all, you know.
I love early comic science, like the gamma radiation.
Yes.
like Dr. Bruce Banner, everything was radioactive.
I don't Spider-Man like what Jason Douglas was saying. So if you haven't listened to our interview with Jason Douglas.
Yes. And also, what was I gonna say about Jason? Oh, his comic book Parallel, all the physical copies are sold out. So woo, go Jason.
Go Jason. So they can just rearrange atoms, air quotes, which is that's how they advance their mind so much, because they can't die. They're immortal. They live forever. So they advance their mind so much over the years, which is how they can rearrange atoms, which is how they can fly and how they can do magic, quotes. But it's just quotes again, science of them rearranging atoms. So that's one thing that they changed in Neil Gaiman run. He gives all of them each individual powers, which I didn't like, because as it is, these characters spent millions or a million years honing particular skills, you know, like Cersei can do magic because she spends a million years learning how to rearrange atoms to do magic, to shapeshift and whatever, you know. So Neil Gaiman just gives them all each individual powers, which I didn't like. That was one thing I didn't like. But there we go. That's what I wanted to say. It took me a long time.
No, actually, I think it's cooler for them to all, like in the movie Hancock, you know, Will Smith and Charlize Theron, they can do the exact same thing, but she's a little bit better. I would have liked to see like varying degrees of different powers, or like the same powers, and then maybe they all have an individual thing that they're a bit better at. I just think that would be more interesting.
That's exactly how it was with anything pre-Gaiman. Like, they would all have the same powers. They were just better at certain things than others because they spent a million years honing that one skill.
Period.
And that was so much more interesting.
So we're not going to talk about the 100,000 Eternals that existed pre-Neil Gaiman. We're just going to talk about the ones that are going to be in the movie. So you kind of have a background on where they're... We have no idea because these comic books are very okay. I don't understand. In a very much an Iron Man, Guardians of the Galaxy. What else did I say? I was surprised they were making into a movie.
I just blinked on everything.
Yeah, I talk a lot of shit.
And so. Humans.
That's something they shouldn't make into a movie, period. There's nothing like else I could think of that I was genuinely surprised to hear was going to be a movie. Honestly, all the DC stuff, I was expecting that. I manifested that. Nobody wanted to see an Aquaman movie more than me.
I was honestly surprised that they were doing an Eternals movie too, because I was like, what the fuck is an Eternal?
Well, I knew that they were a thing, but I knew vaguely of them. I knew that they were... This is going to sound bad, but I knew they were super old and they had seen humanity through a billion crises and did not help. They said, listen, if it ain't got nothing to do with them deviants, it ain't got nothing to do with the Eternals. And low-key, I can respect that because I think the X-Men help a little bit too much. The Avengers being everybody business, but where are they when the mutants need help? They're mutant phobic as hell. Anyway, so that was the sum of all of my Eternals knowledge.
Everything about the Eternals. Everything that you could know about them, I know it. I got you. You're
an Eternals expert. Period. So I'm going to talk about
the two characters.
My personal favorite Eternal, Icarus, played by Richard Madden, because I deserve it. He is basically, they have already started calling him the Superman of Marvel Comics, which, you know, I usually don't like that, but it's kind of apt. They've got similar powers. Mm-hmm. Like every Eternal, he can fly, he shoots lasers, he's super strong. It's really not exciting. He really likes to fight and be in everybody's business, which I was, you know, that meme that's like imagine the messiest person you know. It's a man, isn't it? Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
It's Icarus. That stays consistent ever since 1975. He just wants to be in your business all the time. He has such a hero complex. That's all it is. This man has a god complex.
And that's Richard Madden. So from Game of Thrones, like I was the OG Robb Stark stan from episode one. So when I heard he was going to be in Marvel, I said I wasn't going to be watching any more MCU movies because I don't like that they do make the same movie over and over again. But I'm ready to watch the same movie
again. Oh my God. Okay. Side note real quick. You know how I always say that I hate how they do flashbacks in every Marvel movie ever?
Yeah. In every movie ever.
Yeah. They have a million fucking years of flashbacks in this movie. Oh my God. I just instantly became not excited for this movie.
Hopefully all of the flashbacks just happen at the beginning. Like, hopefully they show everything that happens and they're like, present day.
Because I hate that shit. But anyways, that was my side comment.
The only way I like that is when it's like a romantic flashback. Like when you see somebody, when they see each other across the hallway and then it's like back to 10 years ago and it's like montage of us being in love and back to that moment. That's the only way I really respect that anymore, because I'm tired of flashbacks too. Same. Or if you flashback and the people are fine, like in Black Panther where they did the flashback to Njobu and King T'Chaka, I was like
well, there's always an exception for fine people, period.
Exactly. Per. So Icarus's love interest is a human woman named Margot Damian. She dies when a deviant captures her to turn her into a deviant. But that was pre-gaming, like, so it was just a thing. Also, he became, so, like, in the first or second issue, like, Jack Kirby, he's pretending to be this guy named Ike Harris, or really that's just his human facade. And
he was pretending to be, oh, no, you said it right. I'm sorry. Ike Harris. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ike Harris. I'm sorry. It's not subtle. It pretty much, he didn't put a lot of
thought into it. Yeah, it sounded exactly like Icarus. And I was like, you said the same thing. But, you know, you didn't. That's just their unsubtleties.
It's Ike Harris. Okay, so
Ike Harris.
They go into he's in disguise, right? And so him, Dr. Daniel Damian, they and Margo, they are exploring an ancient Incan temple. They discover a big-ass room. And the room is for the Celestials or the gods or whatever to come down and judge humanity. Like, they're supposed to do this every 10,000 or so years. I don't know if they just skip past slavery or what, but
yeah, I think they, yeah.
So Icarus summons Ajak, and Ajak is being played by Salma Hayek in the movie, but Ajak is
it's a big ass hefty dude
in the comics. And basically Ajax's whole thing is to prepare the landing site for when the guys land. And so Ajax and Dr. Damian have to stay inside the temple because a magic force field appears and nobody can get out. And that's kind of where they start off the Eternals. It's like they literally start out explaining everything that Andrew told you, that the Eternals, the Deviants, the Celestials. And it just that's how we learn about everything. Also, fun fact about Icarus, he had a son named Icarus, and he was given a winged harness.
Oh my god, yeah, because his son Icarus was the son of Icarus and Margo, the human, so it was only half feet. You know, he's a little half.
Half eternal,
half human. So yeah, they gave him a winged harness.
Because he couldn't fly. And just like the Icarus of Greek mythology, he flew too close to the sun and he just died.
That one is so funny because yeah, that one, it was just like a throwaway line that they say, like, fucking Icarus has like a mental breakdown, and I was like, oh my god. And it never comes up ever again. It's so funny.
Wait, I have something to say. Can I say that thing of you said about Ajax being their slave?
I mean, go ahead, because Ajax is essentially their slave.
It was funny as fuck.
Ajax literally exists inside pre-Gaiman. This is all pre-Gaiman right now. But Ajax exists inside like this little, I don't know, like a box type of thing that holds his particles because they can rearrange atoms, you know? So yeah, he just exists inside that thing.
In the box, and it's like, okay, we only open the box for his landing. So Ajax is like a slave, or, you know, like a genie in a lamp.
Yeah, because he's the only one that can speak with the Celestials until the game and run. So that's why.
Sure. Okay, it's so ridiculous.
So he literally exists just to like help the gods, be a slave for the gods.
That's not good optics.
Now I got Salma Hayek as, thankfully, I don't think she's going to be a slave. But.
No, they have shifted it for the film. So that Ajax is actually the leader of the Eternals, like the one who speaks most directly with the Celestials.
Before this, Icarus is always the leader, except for a little bit when Thena's the leader, but we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, Icarus becomes the leader of the Eternals after Thena fails at being a queen. And Thena, go ahead, Andrew, I know you're dying to talk about this.
Thena is one of my favorites. She's not my favorite, but she's one of my favorites. She's going to be the one played by Angelina Jolie. She is the daughter of Zerus. She's the daughter of Zerus, and he's literally just, you know, whatever. He's the oldest and the wisest and the strongest and whatever. He ends up dying. It doesn't matter. So Thena becomes the queen just for a little bit. I don't remember why she is not the queen anymore, because I didn't read that 1985 run or whatever it was. Doesn't matter. She's the queen and she failed at it. So that's when Icarus becomes the king. But her whole thing is that she has a lover who is a deviant, very Romeo and Juliet, like, it's whatever. It's
first of all, I'm really excited story. Because I've read almost none of this. Like, I've read the tiniest, smallest amount of Eternals possible, and I'm really excited because I really don't know what like every time I've ever tried to read Eternals, it's been like a side story, so I don't know what deviants look like. I know they all kind of look different, so I've never seen what this pro thing looks like, and I don't watch movie trailers, so I haven't seen the trailer for the Eternals.
Crow, I think the best way to describe Crow, that's her deviant lover, is if you just imagine Red Skull, but his entire body covered in like the Red Skulliness, you know what I mean? And that's exactly what he looks like. He looks like a Red Skull over his whole body.
That's disgusting.
Except he also can't age. He's one of the only deviants that can't age. I don't know why, but that's why him and Thena have been lovers for tens of thousands of years. They fought in the Battle of Babylon together.
The Battle of Babylon.
Yeah, like the tower from the Bible.
Pre-Jesus.
Yeah.
Why did I say that? I'm surprised. Like, they have literally been here since the beginning of humanity.
But that's also just
literally called Eternals.
Yeah, they were created along with the first humans. But most deviants live a normal human life, quotes. Yeah, so, you know, they have the Romeo and Juliet love, and it's like, whatever. And one of my series, which is my favorite one, the Herod series. How you say that?
Herod
series. That's just a little one-off thing that they did, and it's really cute because they end up having like kids together, and it's a cute thing. They don't know that they have kids because Thena puts her kids into a human body because she is an Eternal and a deviant can't have kids, you know. But it's really cute. It's like, whatever.
Oh, not her kids. Giving Wanda Maximoff.
She did, because they find him at the end because the kids almost die, and then they all meet their kids together. Crow and Thena do, and they're like children and hug. And that's my favorite one. That's like the best one out of all of them. Don't listen to anyone who says the game and run is. Thena is, she's like one of the most beautiful, quotes, Eternals. She's blonde, you know, whatever. Her whole thing is that she likes to fight. That's her whole thing. This bitch comes out.
She's from Texas. She get rowdy.
She gets rowdy, y'all. Rowdy. That was Texas. I felt that. And she, blah, blah, blah. So she has like a magic spear later in the game and run. That's it. I mean, that's really all there is to it. She just likes to fight, you know?
She's
a bad bitch through and through. She's an eternal. She can't die. And in one of the times that she goes to see Crow in Little Deviant World, which is called New Lemuria, she's like, she's walking around and then she's like, there's some crazy shit happening here. You know, like, this is wild. I don't know what's happening here. And then she finds out, like, all the deviants that don't fit in, like, maybe they're too beautiful, like one of them is. His name is Ransack, by the way. I don't know if he's going to be in the movies, but I have a feeling he will be. And the other one is like Carcass, and he's too ugly to be a deviant, so it was weird how that worked out. But anyways, they discover there's like a gladiator ring type of thing where they have to fight for their lives, and she just saves everybody. She like drowns the whole city of New Lemuria, because that's under the Atlantic Ocean, I think, or Pacific. It's under an ocean. There's seven, pick one. But it's under the ocean, so she drowns the whole city and saves these two Eternals, which is insane. But that's why we like Dina. She's, you know, she's here for a good time. She's a good person. And she has a lot of kids throughout this. She's the only Eternal with kids, which is weird. Even in the game in Run, she has a child, because most Eternals can't have kids. Just thought about that. Didn't think about that. But yeah. So there's Dina for you. So we're excited to see her, because, you know, that one at least looks consistent. She's going to have the spear. Why do I keep saying spear? She's going to have the spear. She's going to be a bad bitch. And plus Angelina Jolie, period.
Per. Who else?
Who else?
Oh, Sprite. There's Sprite. Sprite's a child, eternal. Thousands of years old, but, you know, young in eternal time. Like, eternally a kid, which I think is funny. Sprite was originally... Oh, Sprite is being played by Lea McHugh. Sprite was originally a boy, spent years honing magic like Cersei. Cersei is a powerful magician, but Sprite is really mischievous with it, very like Loki, like young Loki. Loves to cause problems, but unlike Loki, is not a little bitch, not malicious,
not entirely, until the game and run, which is when he changed everything. Because what happens in the game and run, and I feel like this is more so what this movie's going to be about, is that Sprite did not, I mean, he found a sleeping Eternal that was punished and asleep on Earth, so he channels that Eternal's power to make all the other Eternals forget who they are, and it's insane. So that way he can, all this because once Gaiman came, I'm pretty sure Eternals can age. It's never said that they can't, but I'm pretty sure they can, because they kept always referencing that Sprite's the youngest. And then how do you have an oldest and a youngest, you know what I mean? Like Zerus,
I just assumed it was because they weren't made all at the same time. But like most of them can't have kids, so that's really interesting. But yeah, there also used to be like 100,000 of them, so like they had settlements and shit.
Okay. Dina had kids, so I'm like, whatever.
Zerus had kids,
so I'm like, you know how? But anyway, so he gets really mad in the game and run, and then he's like, since I can't age forever, I will never know what it's like to be an adult. So instead, I'm gonna make everybody forget who they are, and they all think that they're humans. It's like, where did you come up with this plan?
It honestly sounds like something Loki would come up with, because it's foolish.
It is completely foolish.
Because what if we are needed to fulfill our actual purpose here, which is fighting the Deviants? Wow, look how unfun that's going to be when you have to fight them all yourself as the only Eternal.
Well, he also turns himself into an actual human child, so that way he can age, and then his plan is to, like, go back to being Eternal, kind of, whenever he's 18, so that way he's an adult. Isn't that the stupidest fucking plan?
The thing is, if you're going to do that, why don't you do that? Why are you mad at everybody else?
You know, yeah, Sprite's a questionable character, and I guess in this movie, he's definitely just going to be an Eternal child, because I saw an article
about this. No, it's a girl, she.
Oh, right. It's a girl. See, they changed so much in this movie. I don't know why.
I feel like they were like, we're going to change the races, we're going to change the genders, we are changing things. Because I feel like they understood that a movie about immortal white people was not going to sell any tickets. We were not watching that.
Good point. I mean, it shouldn't really sell tickets.
Well, listen, it depends on how many of them there were. Because they kept it to, like, if it was just immortal white people and they kept it to, like, Angelina Jolie and Richard Madden, that's a different story.
But even it's then... The pre-Gaiman Eternals, there was like Eternals of multiple colors. It was just until,
yeah, like, speaking Gaiman. Of them, Kingo, was being played by Kumail Nanjiani, which is really interesting to me because in the comics, he's from the Eternal Settlement that overlooks Hokkaido in Japan. In the modern day, he's like a really famous action film star in Japan and like other places too.
Right.
When I tell you he is popping, booked and busy. Here's the thing though. He likes to play samurai characters because he is a samurai. So I just assumed he was going to be like Hokkaido Japanese. So when they cast Kumail, I was really interested in that, but not enough to say anything other than like right now.
Yeah.
That's like the one side story that I read.
Yeah. I know. He's just kind of a throwaway character too. They only bring him up like two times. That's why I didn't.
But you know what though? Kumail, he did that. Like he is looking good. I've never, not that I think he's ugly or anything, but I've never like fully seen it for him. Never been like, oh, Kumail. But you know,
he has a wife.
Looking right.
Huh? He's got a wife.
So does Kit Harington. What that mean to me?
Aw, yeah, we'll talk about him in a second. But so, because I have already talked a lot, let's go to Circe real quick. So that way we can...
That's your girl.
That's my girl. She's my favorite, by far my favorite in all the Eternals, consistently, because she stays that girl 100%. She's played by Gemma Chan. As I was reading, though, I noticed a little fun fact about this, which was in the Jack Kirby run in 1975, he changed the spelling from S-E-R-S-Y to S-E-R-S-I. And I don't know why, but I just kind of noticed it. So I was like, I got to write it down. That's like a weird thing.
It's fun, though. It looks better like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Because I remember I would see it on the poster, like, Circe, and I was like, okay. But then I was reading the first three issues, and I was like, S-E-R-S-Y? Who's that? But Circe is the Circe from Legend. She just, you know, changes her name. Or she actually just tells them it's S or C-I-R-C-E, which I think is fucking hilarious. But so Circe's whole little business is that she spends her thousands or millions of years to hone her rearranging atoms into magic. So she can shapeshift, she can teleport, and the pre-gaming, she has a magic mirror that she can talk to people with. Like, this bitch is a badass, right? Like, straight up. She even trained with Merlin back in the day. I might just be making
that
up.
Oh, it's funny that you would mention Merlin because of the other character that I looked up. You mind if I cut in?
Sure.
Okay. So
I'm going back to Circe.
And Merlin. So here we arrive at Dane Whitman. Not an Eternal. Dane Whitman is the second Black Knight. Well, the third, technically. He's descended from Sir Percy of Scandia, who they tell you is one of the Knights of the Round Table, like King Arthur. Mm-hmm. So Dane Whitman is a scientist, a swordsman, a strategist. He's the villain of the original villain Black Knight, Nathan Garrett, who was in his dying moments. He realized, you know, all I've done is put pain and misery out into the world. So he calls his nephew and he's like, listen, you need to take my science, take everything that I've done and work it into something good. So he bequeaths to him their family ancestral home, Garrett Castle. Yeah, he bequeathed it. So he goes to Garrett Castle and he finds all of his Black Knight stuff. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to become the Black Knight now, but I'm going to make it good. So he infiltrates all of his, you know, evil, various villainous organizations, starts taking it down from the inside and even starts working with the Avengers. Are you wondering where Merlin comes into this?
A little bit.
Okay. So among the items in the castle is the ebony blade of Sir Percy of Scandia, which is it's like an ancient relic. And they said that it could only be wielded by the pure of heart. So when Nathan Garrett tried to wield it, it would not emerge for him. It didn't work. When Dane Whitman puts his hand on this sword, when I tell you, boom, it's ready
it
to go.
It should. Good for
but
her.
Here
him.
Is where Merlin comes in. That ebony blade did not do what it was prescribed. It did not do that. It didn't matter if you were pure of heart. It was like, it's like that New York scene where it's like, I wanted to see if I could twist her mind. Just basically, it like leeches on the people who are vulnerable and jacks their anger all the way up to 47 billion because Merlin is evil. Mic drop. Merlin is evil.
Oh, we know that from reading everything. Fuck
period.
Merlin.
When we were reading Future State, Justice League Dark, Merlin was just evil.
Also
so that
evil.
Was so funny.
And he's evil in like the that. Doctor Strange too. Like, man, it's evil.
I mean,
isn't
I just think
weird?
It's not fair. They out here slandering Merlin. All he ever did was train King Arthur. Like, damn.
Why do they do this in both comics? Like, let this man do his magic and move on, you know?
Disney would never do this to us.
Oh, but that's also Kit Harington plays Black Knight. That's who that is going to be. Yes. So do you think he's going to be evil in the movie?
No, because Dane Whitman isn't evil.
You said it like releases his anger up to 10, and that seems like something Marvel would do.
No, actually, Dane Whitman, he keeps control of his ebony blade, but eventually it does start wearing on his like body. He gets turned to stone.
Okay, as you do, you know, sometimes.
As one does.
But he was Cersei's lover for a while, wasn't he?
I don't know if you would call them that. That might have been a strictly knock in the boots type situation. It wasn't a very long thing from what
she has a lot of lovers, from what I gather. That woman likes to have sex. Yeah, she's just out here fucking and trucking, I guess. I don't know where I was going with that.
Please delete that. I hate that.
That's staying. She's fucking and trucking.
Someday, I want you to know that's going on the merch.
That's fine. That's perfect.
I'm putting that on water bottles and nothing else.
But even in like the Kirby run, like she lives in New York. This woman, you know, she has spent all her life partying and drinking and having a good old time. She can make a party appear like that. I can't snap, but Britain has snapped like that. So that's what she does. That's what she spends her million years doing. It's amazing, right? So as she's sitting in the high rise of her apartment, some guy jumps off the building to try to kill himself, but she saves him. And then she starts fucking this man. So for the Jack Kirby run, he's kind of her little knocking boots buddy.
I don't like that you said that. But I really like how much Cersei, from, you know, what little I've read, how much Cersei genuinely loves humanity. Like, I feel like the Eternals, the rest of them see what they're supposed to do there as like a chore, or like, that's what we do. But she's like, oh my God, these people are awesome.
Yeah, Cersei loves to live with people and have a good, or humans, and have a good time with them. While the others sit in like Mount Olympia. They sit on Mount Olympia and just judge and just wait for Deviant. Like, come on, get a fun life like Cersei.
I think, like, I know they obviously have to have changed this from the movie. Like, well, I mean, in the movie, because they're going around the world to gather up, even though there's only like 10 of them. So I'm like, how y'all, you know, what's funny? I didn't see the trailer all the way, 'cause I don't watch trailers, but I saw like just walking past and I saw them all like standing up. So I only thought there were like 5 of them. So I was deeply surprised to find out Ma Dong-seok and who was the other one? Kumail Nanjiani and whoever Druig is. I was deeply surprised. Oh, Makari too. Yeah. I was deeply surprised to see them, because I was like, oh.
Makari's pretty consistently like, okay, Makari was also one of Cersei's little fuck buddies throughout the years. Isn't that crazy? Like, she was out here doing everybody, but that's only in the game and run. They just make a bunch of references to way back whenever they were fucking each other, which I don't think is going
to
happen.
Please stop saying the F word, because it's starting to make me uncomfortable.
Whenever they were knocking boots. So Makari is going to be played by Lauren Ridloff now, who is she's deaf in real life. So obviously I think the character is going to be deaf too, you know, which I think will be very interesting.
Definitely deaf and using sign language, which I think is really cool. Not that it's brave of them for including somebody who is disabled or like all these people of color. It's not like brave or really all that.
But it's nice to have some variety, period. You know?
Because, and this one thing I will say about Lauren Ridloff, I know they said that they made an adjustment on set because she was not having the easiest time acting with the CGI scenes, because it was basically like she was talking to a wall. She was like, what do I do? How do I know to get my cue? And they shined a laser pointer on the wall and something like that, like the inclusion of sign language and then just the slightest act of adaptability or like accessibility.
Right.
It just makes me wonder like how many people could have been included before this, if this was such a simple fix.
It's not hard to be accessible if you want to be. And that's just it.
It's all about who you feel like you should make the space for.
Exactly. So I'm glad that this is one character change I'm very happy about, because I think it'll be very interesting. And it's so easy to make, like, to adapt this character to fit, you know, being deaf. Like, I think, I don't know, I'm excited to see what they do with this. Because Makari's whole thing is he in the comics, but she in the movies. She just likes to go fast, and that's his whole thing. That's the whole thing. Makari just wants to move fast. That's it. That's his whole business.
Oh, and Makari is the same as the god Mercury, the Roman one, right? So that's...
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of these were based off of different mythologies. And then in the comic books, the mythologies are based off of them because they've been around since the dawn of time.
Yeah, so. Like Athena is related to the Greek god Athena. With Makari, what what Greek god is that? That's Mercury is Hermes, right? So the wings on the feet, or you know, as they say in the fashion world, Hermes. That's a joke. They don't say that. It's a different thing. They make the Birkins.
They make the Birkins.
I sound like somebody's country cousin. I don't know. And then we have, which one of us really wants to talk about fastest the most? Because Brian Tyree Henry, he did this. I didn't even see it. And he did that.
Fastos is how I thought. That's how I read it. I don't know. Is it fastest? I don't know. It's Brian Tyree Henry, so it doesn't really matter because he's fine as shit. But
period. That's the only, that was the question. That was the assignment. That was the answer. That was the completed assignment.
He wasn't even really a character pre-game. And so this one was kind of like, it took me a long time to figure out who this was, but his whole thing is that he just likes to build technology and whatever. That's what he does. He has a hammer, kind of like Thor. He was the god of Festus and stuff. Yeah. That's his whole thing. He's like super smart. He loves technology, and which is weird because these Eternals can do magic, you know? So it's like, why do they need technology? But they are so loaded with advanced technology. It's insane. Like so robotic and weird.
I think part of that is like when you have thousands and thousands of years unencumbered by what is the word for lack of progress or the stifled progress of humanity, yeah. Like with the burning of like famous libraries, you know, slavery.
Yeah, where were y'all? Back to that. Where were y'all?
They said that's not their business.
And it could have been. It really could have been, but that's not the point, you know.
Because
I mean, they have all the knowledge they need.
Because they are adhering to what they're supposed to do. They're understanding their assignment as Eternals. Where were the Celestials?
In space, being nosy on a different planet somewhere.
That's the only thing y'all, so that's what y'all gonna do. Okay.
But the thing about Fast is he's gonna be gay in the movie. So here we go, representation again, you know.
Period.
We love to see it. Again, it's nice having some variety, but you know, it's also Marvel, so I don't know how much we can trust their gay characters, unfortunately.
No, you know this is going to be an exclusively gay moment.
Another one? Another exclusively gay moment from Marvel? And see, I want to root for him, but I feel like it's going to be shit because it's Marvel again. They don't do things right. And that's just that. That is
they just have
that.
All their exclusive... If you ever want to know about their exclusively gay moments, you have to go back and watch our review of the Loki show. It'll make sense. If you're gang, you'll understand. I know y'all think we're funny. If you gang. And then we talked about Ajax, right? Okay, so when Andrew described Ajax to me initially, Andrew was like, they have some kind of slave who is like a genie in a bottle. And I was like, what? And so apparently... wouldn't call Ajax a slave, but more like...
I would. Pre-Gaiman, that's one thing Gaiman changed for the better, you know?
In the movies, Ajax is played by Salma Hayek. In the movies, Ajax is... That was my rewind, yes. Ajax is played by the beautiful, legendary, talented Salma Hayek, who I know is going to eat this. First of all, Salma Hayek is a whole legend, producing, acting, getting in her bag.
And is, you know, she's really
the OG
cute,
city
though?
Girl.
I see like her kids and Angelina's kids all keep getting along like on set and whatever because they're about the same age. You know, Angelina and Salma are about the same age, which I think is just kind of cute. That doesn't really pertain
and
to anything.
And she calls her my Angie. Oh, that was so sweet.
I know. I loved it. I love their relationship they have with each other.
I think that's sweet that they were able to like really all of the cast. They seem to really like each other. They seem very bonded together. I think that's
which
cool
just makes it more exciting for the movie because if you have like. Period. What is the word in real life?
An ensemble and yes. Great chemistry. Like a great
if you have good chemistry out of the movie, then the movie and the chemistry is going to be great. That's just, you know, that's just how it works. You exactly. can be a great actor, but if you don't like, have good chemistry.
I don't want to be unfair because I don't want to name this superhero team by name. But there is another superhero team from one of the big two comic book movies and they don't seem like they like each other in real life and it translates very awkwardly to screen
and it's not the Justice League, that's all we're gonna say.
But I feel like that's gonna make it like way easier for them to if they want to make a couple of Eternals movies or if they want to have the Eternals and different stuff. I think it's cool when you can show them like working together. Back on Ajax though, okay, so Ajax is basically like a genie in a bottle. Like when it's time for the gods to the Celestials or whatever to arrive and judge humanity as they do every 10,000 years without helping anybody or doing anything of use. Ajak is there to prepare the landing, and Ajak communicates directly with the Celestials. And that's why Salma Hayek, as Ajak, is going to be the leader of the Eternals in the movies, which I was like, period. Period.
It's going to be exciting. I like that they changed this one up a lot because, you know, being the Incan slave is just not the vibe it used to be or ever was.
It was more like, I don't want to say Incan slave, but it was more like
the maybe fact that it's perhaps so close.
Inappropriate Incan computer program.
Not the inappropriate Incan computer program.
That's the best way to describe it.
All right. So there's two more that we're going to go over quickly before we talk about the Gaiman run, because that's what the movie's mostly going to be about, I think. Or things
from what Andrew has seen in the trailer.
So we'll go over that quick. So then there's Druig. Druig wasn't really even a big character until the Gaiman run. Druig's whole thing. Oh, okay. So he's either played by Barry Keoghan or Barry Keoghan. I'm not really sure how to say your name. I'm so sorry. But he's not really even a big character. He gets killed off in like the Jack Kirby run, I think. It's one of the early ones. It doesn't really matter. He gets killed off, and then in this one, though, after the Gaiman run, because Sprite brings everybody back to life, just turn him into humans, because he's kind of a dick like that. Why would you do that? Whatever. This man is nothing but a schemer. He's a liar. That's his whole business. That's it. And then he gets the power that he could detect your weakness. So he can look at you, and he can tell you everything wrong with you, and you're going to be in tears, and then he can take over your mind, kind of, and make you shoot yourself. It's insane. That's what I read in the Gaiman run. That was cool. Love that. We just watched some man blow his head off twice in that one.
Ooh, not him trying to do the, I heard a rumor.
Mm-hmm. So, Druig's clearly going to have these powers in this movie, and he's clearly going to be an enemy, because he's been an enemy consistently since 1975. And that's all you have for that one.
So most likely, but I'm really wondering if they're going to go the Black Panther route and subvert this did with M'Baku and Nakia.
True, yeah. They might, because they do things like that.
You know, they are both straight up villains in the comics. So from there, we go from Druig to, who do we leave out? Gilgamesh.
Gilgamesh? I really love Gilgamesh, too.
Ma Dong Sok.
Yeah, he doesn't. Sorry, you can talk about
him. / Don Lee. That's it. We love Gilgamesh here.
Gilgamesh's whole business is he gets exiled for caring too much to help humanity. So it's like Icarus, but times 10, I guess. I don't really know why he gets fucking
first
exiled.
Of all, he's like Cersei and Icarus, because Cersei likes humans but won't help them, and Icarus wants to be everybody's business but he doesn't
want to help. I mean, he also doesn't believe in the Eternals' power structure or their rules or anything, so he's like, fuck you guys, like, I'm gonna do what I want. I'm stronger than all of y'all, because he's just out here. He kills Makari at one point, like straight up bashes his head in, and you can't kill an Eternal up till that point, so it was like, holy shit. You know, because to destroy an Eternal, at least pre-Gaiman, is that you have to completely destroy their atoms. I'm sorry, post-Gaiman. Post-Gaiman, you have to completely destroy their atoms, like 2AT, like incinerate them completely. But then somehow they also have like a machine that just brings them back to life anyway. So it's like, even if you do kill them, they're not dead. Whatever. So that's what Gilgamesh's whole thing is. He's just super strong, and he gets exiled for not wanting to conform to rules, which I respect, because you've been alive for a million years. Why would you want to, right?
First of all, I'm not following no rules. Don't tell me what to do. I don't know you like that. And if you exile me, we still got to stay on the same planet, so I'm still going to do what I want.
He still did what he wants. Like, nothing's going to stop him.
I can't be around y'all. What Jesus hardship Christ. Is that? Because I don't like y'all. So.
All right, so pre-Gaiman, everybody's born with the same powers, and they just kind of hone their skills into a certain kind, or hone their powers into one certain skill. Post-Gaiman, everybody is, they were just kind of born with that one skill. Why would you do that, right? Why would you want to be born with one skill and that's all you have?
Oh, and it takes place during Civil War, doesn't it? That's important, because of what's going on around that. Like, the Eternals kind of hadn't been in the in Marvel for like 10 years at that point, 10-ish.
Yeah, something like that. That was 2006.
Since like the early 90s to 2006.
Yeah, something like that. Post or late now. I think it was 99. But either way, that's almost 10-ish years. All that really happens, like I already said, Sprite is just mad that he's internally a child, which before that, I'm pretty positive this kid could have aged. He just ages slower because they live forever. You know what I mean?
And this is where he makes them all forget who they are, and Yeah. So now everybody's just out living their regular human life. And you think that's where they're going to pick up in the movie?
I don't think it's going to be necessarily that, but I do think it's going to be that they're only born with one power, which is kind of ridiculous in my opinion. Like, why would you take something as badass as everybody could do everything and then just turn it to like, okay, you only got one thing. Good luck. Good. Go for it. Fina can barely even fly. Like, she has trouble flying and like post game. And like, isn't that ridiculous?
So he wanted to make Hancock so bad.
And he didn't. Sorry, Gaiman. I think that's all I really want to say, because the story doesn't actually matter. I think it's just going to take Gaiman's version of the characters and make it into a movie where it's them versus deviants. I think that's what's going to happen.
But I think
if not, I think it's going to be, because the Gaiman run exists of like this alien space horde that's coming to Earth. And for some reason, only Makari can talk to this sleeping celestial. It doesn't really explain
that. Would be
why.
Really interesting, just because Makari is being played by a deaf actress. So I'm curious.
See, that could be
like, is it going to be mentally, or if they go that route? What I'm really interested in is, I wonder if they're the jobs and like the lives that they have as humans is going to correspond from the comics to the movie, because Icarus, you know, he's Icarus again. Thina works for Stark Industries, right?
Yeah,
Makari is studying medicine. Cersei
they changed their names a little bit. So Makari is now Mark Curry. Yeah, like,
I hate that. Hate that.
And he's just a med student.
Cersei's planning, she's a party planner. Sprite is one of those weird child actors. has a show called It's So Sprite. And I feel like, I don't know if that was pre or post That's So Raven, but if that was of the That's So Raven era, I feel like that was the inspiration for that.
Maybe.
And obviously I'm really hoping they're going to go that route, because Kumail looks so handsome. I'm excited to see him in this role as, you know, as Kingo. I'm excited to see him as Kingo. So I'm hoping that they're going to be like, yes, I am a beautiful action star.
Actually, I don't think Kingo is even, I don't really remember Kingo at all post-Gaiman. So I don't know what they would do with him.
I think they should just still go with Japanese, that, since he's like a side
Well, obviously like not Japanese, character. But...
No, that would be interesting.
Druig was also like an evil, not necessarily Russian prime minister, but it was like a country in Russia. It was a weird thing. It was like this tiny little country that I can't
think
of the
name
of. You mean
a country that's supposed to be Russia? Because...
No, it's like right next to Russia, and they have like a stereotypical Russian accents and like everything in the comics. It's like,
what does it say? Russian accent?
It has like typical Russian, like, you know how in Russia there's an O with a line through it? It has for every O, and then it has
the
like
slashy O.
Yeah, it has like
National Gaiman being racist to Russians.
Yeah, and then they're all drinking vodka and whatever. It's like, okay. Okay.
Dang, but, what's next?
So I hope they do not go that route with it. I don't want to see an even air quotes Russian prime minister. I can't think of the name of the country. It's right next to Russia. It's a small country.
I want to go to Kazakhstan. But I just met this girl who was like joining the army, and she was like, yeah, I speak Russian, so I'm going to join the army. And I was like, how do those two things?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either. I haven't figured that out in all these years. But I'm hoping that they go the evil politician route, because that would be funny. They're all just living regular lives. Sprite is super famous. So is Kingo. And then
Xerus is alive again. And he's just a drunk, alcoholic, homeless man. Like, he punished the shit out of Xerus for no reason. Xerus had died in the Jack Kirby run. He gets destroyed by some other mythical monster.
The
fact
that he was bringing people back to life for this foolishness. That's what...
Yeah, because now they have a machine that, like, if you die, that your consciousness or whatever just goes to this machine and you're reborn. It's like...
Oh, like what the mutants are doing on Krakoa.
Yeah, exactly like that. Kind of more, like, celestial looking. But yeah, exactly like that. It's odd.
So basically, Charles Xavier has never been original in his life.
Unsurprised and unshocked. But there is... it's called Eternal Thanos Rises. And this was written in 2021.
Like the year that we're in now?
Yeah. So I don't really know where this one came from, but basically what happens in this one is, like, I just kind of glimpsed through this one, if I'm being honest, because I'm just not enjoying it. But basically what happens is, like, the gods are, which are the Celestials and Eternals and whatever, they're arguing if Eternals can have babies, even though everything prior to this, they could have babies, you know, whatever. So they decide to experiment it. And so two Eternals went to space and they do the little nasty, they make little babies, you know, and that baby is Thanos.
Like,
what? Yeah.
They gave birth to
Thanos, and then Thanos ends up killing him when he grows up.
Which thing. Eternals? Which Eternals? Because we need to know who to blame for everything.
I don't know their name. They were two randoms. They're nothing important.
Nasty.
Yeah, so I feel like that's somehow going to be in the fucking movie. But they wrote it in 2021, so I was like, I don't know where this one came from. I don't know why we decided to write. Because they have deviant genes in them as well. Doesn't even make that much sense.
Yeah,
but I feel like that's going to retain to the movie somehow.
And they also do have another Eternal series out that is, I think that just started this month. Well, no, and it started in October. Sorry. But it's by Ralph Macchio, not the one from the Korean, but the Ralph Macchio who works in comics. So I think maybe they might have that coming out to correlate with some of the movie. You know, obviously they haven't really had. Yeah. A lot of Eternal stuff going on, so I think they're going to continue that trend of changing things just a little bit to match up with their comics.
Maybe. I didn't read this one, so I don't know. I didn't even start it.
It just started coming out, so I don't know. I can't say that for certain, but I feel like since there hasn't been a consistent Eternals run out since, what, like 2009?
8? Oh, I think. Yeah, about that. Yeah, that was right after Gaiman. There was another one right after Gaiman that just kind of continued his run, but honestly, I wouldn't suggest it. It has a crossover with the X-Men, though, so if you like that.
Period, because we do love the X-Men here on the True Believers, a comic book podcast.
Oh, my God. Okay, sorry. One quick side note, and then we'll finally finish up. In this one with the crossover with the X-Men, it doesn't even have, like, it's like they're all fighting Druig and some evil Eternals, whatever. So Icarus goes to get the X-Men to fight with him. It's like, why would you do that against, you know, like, literal gods against men? Whatever. But so he has, like...
Because they know the X-Men gonna get it back in blood.
Actually, what he says is because the X-Men are a good team fighting team. And I was like, period, they are. They know how to fight as a team. Yeah.
Say what you want about every other team in Marvel Comics, but the X-Men, they got the teamwork on lock and they will drag anyone.
They do, which is exactly what Angel does. That's exactly what I was getting to. Because Angel, it's not even the strongest X-Men. It's fucking...
Which Angel? Salvador or Warren Worthington?
Warren. It was Warren.
Period. Was okay.
Warren. So they have Warren, they have Wolverine, Scott, and somebody else, Beast. Like, not even the strongest X-Men. You know, but the whole point was that it's literal gods against men. So, you know, they're not going to win this fight. So Angel grabs this bitch by the hair and just starts dragging her. That's it. It's like you can't do anything else.
Wait, does it work? Does he literally just have this woman like...
Exactly. It's like if you watch any Facebook fight of like two women, he just grabs her by the hair and is like dragging her, pulling her back. Look, he's flying.
What year was this in?
2008.
That was pre-Bad Girls Club, because I was about to tell you.
Oh, it was
Bad Angel Girls was Club. Watching. Warren is already rich. He got nothing else to do all day. He said, what's next? He's going to be throwing drinks like...
Maybe. Bitch. And then fly away.
And let's not forget the punches. Like,
oh my God. See, that's the thing. He just grabs her by the hair and starts flying. I was like, bro. It was one of the best comic moments in history. Ever.
Period.
So that's it. I don't know why the X-Men were involved and not even the strongest one, but that was at least a fun story to read. I still wouldn't recommend it because it wasn't really concise in a lot of ways, but you know, that's not the point. The point is, this is mostly going to be based off of the game and run characters is what the movie is going to be based off. I think, I can't confirm it. I obviously haven't seen it.
I'm mad because Andrew's notes that he sent me for this, they say, I skimmed this shit.
That's the Thanos one, because I didn't enjoy it. It seemed like a waste. Sorry, Kieran Gillen, who wrote that.
How dare you insult Kieran Gillen, who did the second run of Young Avengers? How dare you do that?
Love Young Avengers, but this story was just dumb. And I think that they only did it so that way they can put it into the fucking Marvel MCU. And it's like, whatever.
And you would do it too for a check.
Girl, there's not a lot I won't do for a check.
You heard it here first, folks. Andrew's willing to do a little something strange for a little bit of change. If you have any requests, that was a joke.
Real hot shit.
And if the beat live, you know that's all for this week's episode of True Believers.
So thank you for all of your support, everybody. We will see you next Wednesday, the 8th, where we'll be covering the United States of Captain America.
Woo! That's one of my picks. We're available on all major streaming platforms except for Pandora. And if you really like the show, please leave us a review and continue sharing with your friends. We really appreciate it. And as always, if you want to leave a suggestion on what we read or watch, you can find and DM us on social media, email us, or leave a voicemail at 650-761-2629. Not if you're nasty, because I listen to those, not Andrew. Or join our Discord. Also, we really are looking for suggestions on what new content to publish in the new year. I don't want to say we're running out of ideas, but the well is drying up. Help us out, people.
And we just like to hear your ideas. Also, and if you want to go more in depth with Eternals, because we only had such a certain amount of time here, just hit us up. You know, I can talk about it.
If you listen, and as was said previously, if you want to talk about the Eternals, you better get on Twitter and at True Believers Pod, because...
Yeah, so hit us up with the ideas. Hit us up
if you want to talk more Eternals. Sorry.
Whatever. It's in the notes. Bye, y'all.
Bye.